Wednesday, October 2nd, was a tumultuously full day at the White House, a mixture of pain and triumph. The pain was resoundingly told on the front page of the paper, Senate rejects Sfota's cloture by wide margin, nomination seen dead for session. The vote 45-43, almost the last page in this long agony, and the nomination of Abe to be Chief Justice. The triumph was quietly told on the inside pages, but a source of warm satisfaction for me and a lot of conservationists. Two new national parks and a system of scenic rivers and trails were added to the nation's outdoor public preserve today. President Johnson signed four bills, and one of them was a 58,000-acre Redwood National Park. But the first major event of the day was the arrival ceremony on the South Grounds to meet President Tumbleby of Chad. I wore my red wool with a white hat, and at 11:30, Leonard and I marched out from his office for this first of the state visits to be handled by Ambassador Abel, our fourth chief of protocol. President Tumbleby was very black, his face a network of scars, part of the tribal initiation, I suppose, and he spoke only French, so it was very difficult for me to have any real contact then or later. Lucy, in a very short skirt and white boots, and Patrick Linden, very independent and masculine with his new haircut, were every bit as interesting to the photographers as were the two chiefs of state delivering their speeches from the platform. After shaking hands with a small party from Chad in the diplomatic reception room, I started upstairs and ran into Mary and Reuben Rebsum, who were touring the White House with the George Stantons from Johnson City, and Dr. and Mrs. Perryman was delighted that I at least had the opportunity to shake hands with them and suggested that they might want to linger and watch the bill signing. And then, upstairs, I had nearly an hour to work with Bess and Ashton, get ready for my beautification meeting in the afternoon, call Liz and invite her to bring Lawrence Rockefeller and Henry Diamond to have lunch with me after the bill signing instead of going to the mess. And then, a little past one, I went down to the usher's office with Ashton in tow, signing mail and making decisions until the last minute when Lyndon emerged from the elevator, and we marched together and with a sense of triumph into the East Room for the signing of four landmark bills in the story of conservation in this country. The room was crammed. In the front rows were many familiar faces. Scoop Jackson, Senator Greening, Venerable Senator Hayden, Wayne Morse, looking a little chastened. Pleasant sight. Senator Church, whose return is also quite uncertain, and Tom Kuchel, who will not be back, and whose good, friendly face gave me a pang. There was the Chief Justice, all benevolent smiles, and brushing off the reporter's questions, and of course, Stew Udall. I expect he tallies up these successes with as much relish as I do. Lyndon made an excellent speech, which he took occasion to speak of, our beloved Chief Justice, who stands for all that's good in this country. Besides the Redwoods Park, which has trees in it that are 1,000 years old and range up to 367 feet in height, there also came into being today the North Cascades National Park in the state of Washington, in an area that's called the American Alps and is still very frontier. And then a system of urban and rural trails, including the Pacific Crest Trail from Mexico to Canada. And then the establishment of the National Wild and Scenic River Systems, preserving sections of eight rivers, with 27 more under study. It is all like a vast banquet of places to go and things to do for me. And threaded through Lyndon's speech were warm, sweet references to me. And afterwards, when he signed the bill, the first pen he gave to Senator Hayden, and then one he gave to me. Somewhere in the back of the crowd, Lawrence was waiting. He almost never appears on the front row. I went upstairs and greeted him and Henry and Liz, but then was interrupted to go back down and stand for a few minutes in line with Lyndon and shake hands with the rest of the guests. Mary Rebsum came through just in time for me to remind Lyndon that these were neighbors. And then just a little before 2, I was back upstairs in the family dining room for one of the shortest but most fun luncheons I can remember in the White House. Lawrence did most of the talking. He was as excited as a child about having enlisted some new recruits for conservation. And what a list. One was Charles Lindbergh, who has shut the door on the world for 35 years, but now is opening it himself, so Lawrence says, to talk to people and groups in the interest of conservation. Pete Lawrence is especially trying to save an area in the Hawaiian Islands, which he tells me is beautiful beyond belief. He described a luncheon in which three of the other guests were Charles Lindbergh,